Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Takun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me is my co-host, the OG. It's Ryan Whitfield. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
All right, not too bad. Hey, I got to ask you this, Ryan. Do you ever watch the Oscars?
No. I'm not an award show person.
Yeah, I'm not really an award show person. I mean, I like movies. I'm not much of an award show person either. I feel that every time I watch the Oscars, I'm like, oh, man, I watch a million movies a year, and only one of them end up being a nominee or zero. But you're not alone, man. It looks like their viewing numbers are down again, and they are now, I think, below most playoff games in baseball. So, you know. Take it for what it will. It's slipping and sliding, those Oscars. That being said, we got more important things to talk about today. We're going to be talking about free agency, which has been a complete whirlwind in 2024. I don't know about you, but do you remember a year in which you've seen so much movement in the NFL and the free agency over the first 2 days?
Yeah, I feel like it's always like this now with the quote unquote legal tamper period, which I think is stupid. But I don't know. Maybe I just have short term memory loss because your opinion is not in the minority. I've seen a lot of people posting about how wild this has been. I think it's a pretty underwhelming free agent class. I mean, there's certainly been a decent amount of movement, but as we'll go through today, I mean, there's not a lot of names in here that I'm like, oh, that really shapes the future of this franchise now that they made this move. So,
well, hey, yeah. I'll say this though. I know you like to hate on running backs, but they're getting paid this year. This is probably one of the highest paid years in terms of free agent running back signings, though. I mean, that's something a little bit different, I think.
Not an original take. I did hear this in a couple other places, but the running backs all started clamoring last year. Last year about collusion and how the owners were not paying that position, and then all of a sudden this year, day one, all from the running backs all get paid. I wonder if that's a coincidence. I'm sure the owners didn't say we need to make this look like we're not doing this. That's interesting.
Right.
So crazy,
sure.
That it all of a sudden flipped this year. That's interesting.
Well, here we are talking conspiracy theories and unoriginal takes. We're all over this today. So let's go ahead and get this rolling. Let's talk about some free agency here. All right, man. I'm not going to start. I won't start with the running backs right away because I know a lot of people want
to
talk about that. You're coming in hot already. I mean, I think you're already coming. The only thing that's not hot is probably what you had for dinner at this point, right? I think, right, so, I mean, are you eating dinner right now? Because I feel like our listeners
know. I got through a pre-show this week, so don't worry.
All right. That's fair. They're missing out. All right, maybe we'll do a little earlier next week so we can catch you on dinner time. Hey, let's do quarterbacks first. So let's do that because, quite frankly, I didn't think there were a lot of overwhelming quarterback moves at all. But let me just go ahead and just rattle them off. And I'm going to ask you, Ryan, to tell me which one you think is the most impactful, which one is the best value, and which one is the worst signing, at least in your opinion here. So we'll start with the big one, quote-unquote. I'm using air quotes. Nobody can see me because it's radio. But Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons 4 years, $180 million. Man, his agent is amazing. Baker Mayfield re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know he didn't move, but he was a free agent. He got 3 years for $100 million. And, of course, Russell Wilson, let's ride, to the Pittsburgh Steelers 1 year for $1.2 million. And of course, the Denver Broncos are still in the books with him. Gardner Minshew signed with the Las Vegas Raiders 2 years, $25 million. And then we have Jacoby Brissett with the Patriots at 1 year, $8 million, a return home for Jacoby Brissett, who was a third-round draft pick by those Patriots. Jameis Winston to the Cleveland Browns for 1 year at $4 million. A little surprising to me that Joe Flacco didn't get signed there, but hey, you know, it takes all kinds, I guess. And Sam Darnold signed with the Minnesota Vikings. They don't have anybody else there right now other than, I believe, I can't even remember who else was there at this point. So anyway, Sam Darnold, maybe the starter over there in Minnesota Vikings. I know it'll come to me in a second. Anyway, what do you think about those guys there? Which one of those is the most impactful signing as far as you're concerned for the quarterback position?
Yeah, most impactful, which is I'm torn. I'm gonna do it. So if we just look at the signing, let's take out the money
take
for
the
a
dollars
second.
Out. Yeah,
I mean the best situation now is Atlanta. They have a decent amount of talent between Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. So you got a airmark team with a veteran who you know can get you to a certain level. Kirk Cousins, I don't think, is bringing Atlanta their first Super Bowl. The contract is absolutely absurd, and not just this one, because the talk you mentioned the agent here for a second. I mean, the franchise tag money he got there in Washington, then he goes to the Vikings, and I wrote about, I think it was my first article ever for our site way back in 2014, was about that the Seahawks should
fully
get the first fully guaranteed contract to Russell Wilson. No, it was Kirk Cousins years later in Minnesota who got it, and now he's getting a four-year, $180 million deal. Absolutely absurd. Neither here nor there. I think the team that is most impacted right now is them, because I look at the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I think that's probably the second most impactful is them retaining Mayfield. But, like,
I agree.
I think we kind of saw Mayfield's ceiling last year. I don't, like, it's a nice story, and he definitely deserves some run for the whatever comeback player of the year last year. And
sure,
it's a great story.
Absolutely.
He's gone through adversity and battled back, all that yada yada. But you're just bringing him back. You're just bringing back Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's up there in age. So I just, like, I don't know. I just look at it like, yeah. I mean, if you want to be 9-8 forever, I guess that works. But I think the Falcons are realistically, we'll see how the rest of this shakes out. But, I mean, I just look at it right here, right now. I'd put my money on them to win the NFC South. So I think that takes them from a non-playoff team to a division winner. And then, Kirk Cousins might lead you to the second round. You're not going to get past that, but, there you go.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And of course, we'll talk about this later when we get the wide receivers, but they also managed to sign an underappreciated Darnell Mooney as well to help him out over there in Atlanta. That being said, I totally agree with you. I think actually the most impactful is the guy who didn't go anywhere, and that's Baker Mayfield, because he's a good fit for that system. And Mike Evans likes playing for him, and we all know that if Mike Evans doesn't like playing with you, then things are going to go sideways real fast. So I think that's a great fit for the Buccaneers in the near future. And they only paid him $100 million for 3 years, which is, shouldn't make them feel really good when they see Kirk Cousins get $180 million for 4 years in comparison. Let's talk about value now. I mean, I'm assuming that, I don't know, but Russell Wilson for $1.2 million sounds like a pretty good deal. But who knows what's left of Russell Wilson at this point. Anything else here? Any of these other guys here? Kirk Cousins, 4 years, 180. We don't think that's a good deal. Baker Mayfield, 3 years, 100 million. Russell Wilson, one at 1.2. Gardner Minshew, 2 years at 25 million. Jacoby Brissett, 1 year at 8 million. Jameis Winston, 1 year at 4 million. Sam Darnold, 1 year. No dollar signs yet, but I'm sure it won't be much more than what Winston's getting, around 4 million. So what do you think here in terms of value? Which one is the best value of these signings?
Honestly, I don't think any of them are really great value signings. I think the two top guys got completely overpaid. The rest of the guys, I mean, it's just, I think for my local flair is for what the Patriots wanted, Jacoby's fine at $8 million. But I mean, it's hard to call a guy who I think every year except for one where he was severely under 500, every other year he's gone like one game under 500. So, I mean, you're only paying 1 year $8 million. He's familiar with the team and the system, and he's familiar with Scott, with Alex Van Pelt and yada, yada, yada. Hey, he's an average, below average starter in the NFL. So, like, okay. They didn't have to pay that much for Russ. I don't know if anyone's been paying attention. Russ was not the only problem in Denver, but he wasn't the solution. So
right.
So the Steelers just get an older, slightly better version of Mason Rudolph back there now?
Russell Wilson compared to Mason Rudolph.
What are we going to talk about? I mean, again, we all know how much I love that Legion of Boom 2012 through 2015 Seahawks.
We do, yeah.
That Russell Wilson doesn't exist anymore. So now you just got, ooh, that's dangerous, Russ. So who's a cornball on top of everything. So, I don't think any of them are great value. Before we move off to quarterbacks, I'd just be remiss since you decided to throw out, because Darnell Mooney is a great pickup by the Falcons. But if we want to really talk who screwed the pooch here on the quarterback part of free agency / trading / re-signing guys, it's the Bears still sitting there with Justin Fields and can't offload them to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me, actually, because I think there's been some discussion about the fact that they were accepting offers but didn't make him open to trade until after the combine, which is insanity. So I don't really know what was going on there or if Ryan Poles has some magic trick off his sleeve, but quite frankly, it doesn't look like they're going to offload him at this point. I think we knew at least a couple weeks ago that the Falcons, the Steelers, and the Raiders were the leading contenders for his services, and all three of them have picked up quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think that Gardner Minshew is the answer in Las Vegas, but they signed him to a 2-year contract for $25 million, so it doesn't seem like they're sitting him as a backup. It looks like they're going to have him compete for that starting position against Aiden O'Connell, so you know, we'll see what happens there. They probably will draft some guy as well. I'm sure that Gardner Minshew is not the long-term plan. But there doesn't seem to be any room there for Justin Fields. So I agree with you. I think that if the plan was to trade him, that is not working out. that is not working out. And at this point, I almost say keep him on the roster. And even if you draft Caleb Williams, then, you know, don't start Caleb right away. You know, let him sit there and have some healthy competition in camp and see what happens. Eventually, someone's going to get injured in the regular season, and someone's going to need a quarterback. So who knows? Maybe that's the opportunity there. But you're right. They absolutely, at least from all intents and purposes from the outside looking in, screwed the pooch in terms of Justin Fields. So we'll see what happens there. Let's move on to the running backs, though, because I want to talk about these guys. Now you can get in hot. You've only been mildly lukewarm at this point. I know you can get really hot about the running backs. You've already kind of said nothing here really took you by storm. In terms of a great trade, but I'm going to run through them because there's some big names here. Obviously, the biggest of which, maybe the second biggest of which, depending on which team you're rooting for, but Saquon Barkley signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, in division, 3 years, $37.75 million for Saquon Barkley to walk across from the Giants to the Eagles. That's something. Josh Jacobs signing with the Green Bay Packers, 4 years, $48 million. Of course, the Green Bay Packers then release Aaron Jones, who walks over to the Vikings and gets picked up there for $7 million for a single year. Derrick Henry signs with the Baltimore Ravens for 2 years at $16 million. Tony Pollard goes to the Tennessee Titans before Henry leaves, but basically simultaneously. Titans pay him $24 million for 3 years. Austin Eckler signs with the Washington Commanders for 2 years at $11.43 million. DeAndre Swift signs with the Chicago Bears 3 years for $24 million. Devin Singletary goes to the Giants 3 years for $16.5 million, reunites offensive coordinator there. Gus Edwards signed with the Los Angeles Chargers for 2 years and $6.5 million. I'll mention one more because I think this can be impactful at this point. Zach Moss signing with the Cincinnati Bengals 2 years for $8 million because, of course, he's going to be the starter. So they got to start somebody. It looks like it's going to be Zach Moss. So what do you think? Of those running back signings, which one of those are the most impactful?
Who gives a shit? No, man.
I asked for it. I told you to go in hot, and you went in hot. All right. I knew it was coming. I set myself up. It was a lob.
No.
So
I'll put the hyperbole in the snark aside for a second. When the Eagles were collapsing down the stretch and they lost that playoff game, we all sat here saying, oh, if they could only run the ball better. Oh, wait, no one said that because no one gives a shit. It doesn't matter. This whole thing is a facade, and you can call it a conspiracy theory. The timeline is what it is. Follow the money. If the NFL didn't, we had all the coalescence of a group of players last year speaking up at the running back position. They like to get out ahead of things. They didn't want something, so they all went splashed on the running back position and included in the opposite way just to throw us all off the scent. So, you know, I don't think there's only really one that I think is impactful, maybe two. And mm-hmm. honorary mention for a third one.
Okay.
Honorary mention is the Patriots have not had a true pass catching back since James White left. So I think the Antonio Gibson low money signing for the Patriots is a smart move.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to move the needle? Nope. Is it going to win them another game or two next year? Nope. But it is another tool in their belt. So I like that one.
Wow.
Aaron Jones can't stay healthy at this point in his career, but I do like him in Minnesota just because we've seen a multitude of backs go in there and be successful. Now I know obviously they got a little bit of an issue with the quarterback position now, but I think if Aaron Jones can stay healthy, he can produce in Minnesota. And then the big one, which I don't even know, you went on a long list there, so it's been a long day, so I don't know if you said it or I missed it, said it and I missed it or didn't say it, but Joe Mixon to the Texans is probably my favorite running back.
Well, that was my trade, but yeah. I agree.
Well, okay. Get any movement at this time of year is all under one umbrella, as far in my world. So
that's fair. That's fair.
Joe Mixon to the Texans was the only impactful. The rest of this, Austin Eckler, washed. Who cares? Again, Saquon Barkley, I thought he'd missed way more games than he has in his career, to be honest. There's really just, a 3-year stretch there, 13-2 and 13. And I think you got to – I was gonna be really facetious and point out that he's got a 4.3 yards per carry as his average, and Antonio Gibson, who the Pats just signed for 1/30 of the money, has a career yards per carry of 4.1. But I know that's not taking into account obviously how bad that Giants offensive line has been. So I'm not going to diminish Saquon, but it's just again that wasn't the Eagles' problem. The Eagles' problem is the coaching problem. The Eagles' problem is their secondary. The Eagles' problem is their aging offensive line. Well, one of those guys retired. Lane is still old. Now you just got an older back there. I'm not excited. Derrick Henry playing for the Ravens 4 years ago would have been awesome. What if I'm supposed to get excited about that now? And I know everyone's already beat me to it. Well, actually, I said it the minute it happened, so I think I beat all the Twitter memes to it about the Derrick Henry touchdown pass in the playoffs and Baltimore finally has a guy that can throw in the postseason. But seriously, does that fix what again, when the Ravens have lost in the postseason, we've said Lamar hasn't been good enough. So I'm supposed to now think, well, that guy Derrick Henry fixes it? No, it doesn't fix it. So, and they got issues with Zay Flowers off the field now and, not even counting what he did on the field in that playoff game last year. So, I just – none of the rest of these moved the needle for me. I could honestly – I couldn't care less about most of these. And the three that I even gave credit to, it's a lowercase c when I say credit. It's not big credit, it's little credit.
I knew that you were going to come in hot on the running backs. I knew you weren't going to be excited about all these moves. I have to say I'm going to disagree in one guy, and it's Derrick Henry. And I know that everyone's down on Derrick Henry. They're saying he's kind of over that ledge. He's just turned 30 at the beginning of this year, and that's basically it. I mean, he had a down year. He played all 17 games last year. He had 1,167 rush yards and 12 touchdowns. That is the second most rush yards among all running backs in the NFL last year, only behind Christian McCaffrey. And he had the seventh most rushing touchdowns last year among running backs as well. And that's behind a Titans offensive line that is horrifyingly bad. I mean, the number of yards after contact, that's what people always talk about, number of yards after contact. In 2023, 3.3, that's eighth best in the NFL. In 2022, 3.6 is fourth best in the NFL. When he played for the Titans before contact, no one ever talks about how many yards he gets before contact. Well, behind the Titans line, in 2023, he had 0.9. That's 30th, the third worst in the NFL. In 2022, 1. That's again, 30th, third worst in the NFL. That Titans line has been horrific. They can't open up anything for him. He's making it all on his own after contact. Ravens, on the other hand, 2020 to 2023, they have they allowed 1.8 yards before contact and on average for their running back. That is first in the NFL. I think there's some potential here, particularly for the cheap deal, 2 years of $16 million. I mean, that's less than what Barkley is getting paid, what Jacobs is getting paid, what Tony Pollard is being paid, and what DeAndre Swift is getting paid by my Bears. So I feel like there is some potential here for Henry to kind of, you know, put on a show. And I know everyone thinks he's bust, but I do think with him and Lamar Jackson, I know the problem is Lamar Jackson, but I do think Derrick Henry can make him a little bit better.
Let me just throw this out there because this, because I don't think it's an age issue, but let me just give you rattle off 15 quick names here. Willis McGahee, Amon Gain, Ezekiel Elliott, Willis McGahee, Ernest Biner, Terry Allen, Chris Johnson, Earl Campbell, Sean Alexander, Tiki Barber, Clinton Portis, Matt Forte, Jim Brown, O.J. Simpson, Ricky Williams, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Fred Taylor. I got two more. Jamal Lewis, Otis Anderson. Those are the next 15 guys just ahead of Derrick Henry in terms of career carries. Like,
right.
And all those guys at the end were a shell of himself. This is not about his age and what he did last year. It's about he's carried the ball 2,030 times in his career. I mean, this is not somebody who had injuries and could still have a little left in the tank at 30. And so I'm not even focused on the age as much as I am workload. And that's really backlog too. Cause if you remember, who was it? Who the hell was the Titans with so many shitbag coaches there in the middle of the 2010s, but they were playing Deion Lewis as like a three down back instead of giving Derrick Henry the ball. Was it Muschamp or I forget, whoever. Anyways, right before they made him into a premier back in like his third season. So like that's all, like that's 2,000 carries and it's really loaded into six seasons. So I don't know. I've talked about this a lot over the years. I did it with Todd Gurley years ago where I did that whole study where I looked at guys who were top five in carries and they basically all fell off the next year except for Todd Gurley who did it 2 years in a row. And the third year he fell off, and the fourth year he retired. I think if I had to go look, I bet Derrick Henry was top five three straight seasons up until last year. So it's just unsustainable, even as much of a freak as he is. So I think he'll be fine this year. I don't think you'll see the impact that I think a lot of people are thinking they're going to see.
Yeah, I agree. He's not going to get the carries. That would be insane. If they give him the carries that he's been having season in throughout his last 8 years in Tennessee, where he's being kind of just loaded down with carries. But they have Keaton Mitchell. They got Justice Hill there still. I think they'll find ways. They do RBBC there. They do running back by committee there, and Lamar Jackson gets a lot of the design runs as well. I think they can keep Derrick Henry healthy by not overloading him, and he can be very impactful. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with 900 rush yards and 10 touchdowns. I can see that for Derrick Henry, and that could be meaningful for a team like the Ravens, who are so run-centric. But, I'm just saying $16 million 2 years, I'd give that a roll. I think that's some potential there. And I also don't think Austin Eckler is done, but I also don't think he is ever meant to be the bell cow back in any particular backfield. But he could be a pretty good combo with Brian Robinson to keep him healthy out there. I mean, last year he was pretty much underperforming, but mostly because he had a high ankle sprain in week one. He had 31.1 receiving yards per game last season, even in a down year where he was injured a lot. And among running backs, that's only behind Christian McCaffrey, Rashad White, and Alvin Kamara. So I think there's some potential to bounce back. He'll have a little bit of a role with the Commanders. I don't think he'll be the guy. I think Brian Robinson will be the kind of first two down back. But I think he can be impactful. He can be impactful, particularly with Antonio Gibson out and with your Patriots. And which, actually, I agree. I think will be a really good thing for the Patriots, depending on what they do with the rest of the team, of course, because there's a lot of question marks out there. All right. Well, we talked plenty about the running backs now. Let's go ahead and talk about wide receivers. And here, maybe a little bit even less impactful, but a little bit, I think there's quietly some good moves here. First of all, T. Higgins, we don't know what's going to happen to him yet. He's franchise tagged by the Bengals, which is 1 year at $21.82 million. He's asked for a trade, so we'll see what happens with T. Higgins. Michael Pittman was re-signed by the Indianapolis Colts after being tagged 3 years for $70 million. Mike Evans re-signed with Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a relatively modest 2 years for $41 million. I thought that was pretty decent. Darnell Mooney signed with the Atlanta Falcons, 3 years, $39 million. Gabe Davis signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars, 3 years at $39 million. Kendrick Bourne re-signed with the Patriots, 3 years for $19.5 million. That's pretty good. I like this one. Noah Brown re-signing with the Houston Texans, 1 year. It's a TBD on the price. Of course, the big one that just happened earlier today is Calvin Ridley signing with the Titans. That's a big one, and it'll be interesting to see how that shapes out. There's others. Deontay Johnson obviously traded to the Carolina Panthers, if we're going to include trades. Any of those look like big, impactful moves for you?
Sorry, I was sitting here trying to do math while you were talking. First of all,
math
I fully
is hard,
jump
guys.
Off the running.
Math is hard.
Well, I was counting. I was counting because, you know, I think a big part of this discussion here in the wide receiver kind of slow market and an underwhelming market so far has been how deep the receiver position is in this draft. And I was scrolling through PFF's big board. 11 out of the top 50 prospects on there are wide receivers. So I think that's why.
Love the wide receivers this year's draft. Yeah,
it's a really stacked wide receiver draft, and it's a really crappy wide receiver free agency class. So I think those two things married together for this. And also, before we move too far from the running backs, you and the Austin Eckler hype there. You got too many Commanders fans coming in and out of the show, doing different spots on here.
We have a lot of them. We have a very strange connection to the Commanders. I'm not sure how that happened.
Put a burgundy glasses on you, so you sat here, you know, wax poetic.
The best team ever.
Yes, in there, Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson. What a two-man punch for the middle of the league. Anyways, as I said earlier, you know, I actually really do like. I'm drawing a blank now. The Bears receiver, Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, I like him too. He was underutilized and didn't get an opportunity to really show what he could do with a really bad Bears passing attack. I think he's going to do well in Atlanta. He might even challenge Drake London as a WR1 out there.
I think he's a solid weapon, and I think he's a good route runner, which is, you know, above all else what Kirk values. So I think he'll be a trusty target for him. So I think that's a good move. It's honestly, again, from my personal lens, while the Patriots were sitting here focusing on Calvin Ridley, I was hoping that when this wave of top tier guys went, that would be a man standing that they would go after. But he ended up moving before, so that ship's already sailed. But I think in general, the Calvin Ridley deal is just absolutely absurd to me.
4 years, $92 million, and $50 million guaranteed. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's just for a guy who's not that good. And I saw somebody tweet out today and said, well, this is what happens in the free agency market. You got to overpay. This is somebody who's scolding locally the Patriots for not going that extra mile. And their actually offer, from what's been reported, was close. It was $22 million a year. It was 23 from Tennessee. But Massachusetts, about a year and a half ago, passed the millionaire tax. So millionaires get taxed like absurdly high from a state that was already taxing income pretty high. So when you talk about Tennessee, which has no income state tax or state income tax, it's like the difference between 22 and 23 sounds like it's just $1 million, but it's actually like, it turns out to be like $2 or $3 million a year, after all said and done. So, you know, again, but the Patriots were still close in terms of what they were willing to shell out to him. And I don't agree. And you got to overpay for top tier guys. If Michael Pittman had hit the market, fine. If T. Higgins has hit the market, fine. If Mike Evans and you're just a piece away hit the market and you got to overpay, fine. You got to give Calvin Ridley, who's left for mental health stuff and came back and was suspended because of gambling. Well, the two were tied together. I don't know if I've ever seen if that was ever officially correlated.
I don't know if the
timeline at first was that he was stepping away for personal reasons and then later on was suspended for the gambling. So some trust factor shit going on there. Then the fact that he's 30. And I went down a whole rabbit hole today because I was texting with my friends after that deal went down. And one said, I can't even believe he's 30. I said, I know. And he came into the league at 24. But for comparison's sake, Amari Cooper is they're basically 6 months apart. And I go, and this is why Todd Gurley was on the mind. And they go, and now I'm down a rabbit hole of 29-year-olds. Todd Gurley's 29, been out of the league 5 years. Feels like Amari Cooper's been here for forever. And it feels like Calvin Ridley's only played 4 seasons and they're all 29. That's neither here nor there. Just where my mind went today during that. So, that's just too much money. That's just too much money for a guy who isn't a true number one. He isn't. And this is the argument we get this time of year with everybody because, again, around here, this has been an argument for a couple of days now. But Calvin will be your number one. That's not what a number one receiver is. I went through this exercise with my 12-year-old last night. I think there's only truly 9 number ones in the NFL. I went through and ranked them all and looked at them all. Because it doesn't mean you're number one on your depth chart. There's teams with two.
Right.
The LA Rams have two number ones. The Miami Dolphins have two number ones.
Yeah.
There's a couple others with a singular number one, and that's really it in the league, in my opinion.
Sure.
So, you know, and then I'm going on recency because I don't think Jamar Chase can be a number one, but he's not a number one right now based on what he put out last year, in my opinion.
Right.
Now,
Justin Jefferson's a number one, I'd say. No,
Justin Jefferson's a number one. CeeDee Lamb's a number one.
Right.
AJ Brown's a number one, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, went through this, like, but those, like, that's a special tier, and that's what Calvin Ridley's now getting paid as the 15th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is definitely,
he's the top.
This, I didn't mean to cut off your rant on,
no, you're good,
Calvin
you're good.
Ridley. I was just going to say, there's a reason for it, though, because I think that the new Titans offensive coordinator, Nick Holt, obviously coached Calvin Ridley last year in Jacksonville. He really liked – they really got along well, and Calvin Ridley had a good year with him. So, I mean, I won't say outstanding, but a good one, and I think that there is there's a little bit of familiarity there, and the
Did
money was there.
Did you own any
there.
Fantasy shares of him last year?
Calvin Ridley?
Yeah.
No, I had zero. I had zero shares of Calvin Ridley last year.
Okay, well, he was super,
I had no trust.
Everyone looks at his aggregate stats from last year and says he had a pretty good year. Yeah, he'd go off for, you know, a game where he'd have 150 yards on 12 catches and two touchdowns, and then he'd go lay an egg two games in a row. You couldn't depend on the guy. So, like,
that's
consistency
true.
Is, like, the number one most important thing to me. Now he's hitting the 30-year-old cliff. So, like, yeah, the aggregate stats were fine last year because he popped off in, like, six or seven games. But the other nine games, he was pretty invisible out there. And so, again,
yeah.
and that's on an offense that didn't ask him to be the number one. Kirk was the number one there. So now you're going to put him in an offense where he's really going to be the guy with a worse quarterback situation and, dare I say, terrible quarterback situation. And he's you're going to pay him that kind of money? I mean, come on. It doesn't make any sense. And that's not sour grapes because the Patriots didn't get him. I've been saying this for 3 days now that's – if you could get Calvin at 15, 16 million a year, sure. I couldn't even have fathomed 20. Now 23 plus the years. I know only 50 is guaranteed. It's the NFL, so they can move on pretty much after two. But I just, that's not.
Well, you don't have to worry too much because T. Higgins is still out there. So who knows what's going to happen there? It's entirely possible.
Also not a number one. Not a number.
True.
But a
very solid number two, though, I think, you know.
If the Bears went and got T. Higgins, you know, next year, I'm just trying to pick a team besides just talking about my Patriots so it doesn't look like
right.
I'm just giving the Patriots name. But he goes to the Bears next year, and let's say you guys take somebody in the third round for receiver. You don't take one of these top 50 guys, right? You take someone in that next wave, maybe Jerry Rice's kid out of USC kind of player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we go there next year. I'm sorry, I'm single covering T and I'm single covering Rice, and I'm saying beat me. I'm not shifting double coverage on the T Higgins. Like, and
well,
again, that's where
T.J.
the number
Moore.
One comes from.
We don't have the T Higgins doesn't have to run out there by himself. I mean, he's not chopped liver or anything, but I'm saying
DJ Moore not a number one either.
I'm not saying he's a number one, but you know, you got two guys together, and they could be useful. I'm just, but that said,
not a single one of those guys are number ones, and so I'm just not paying somebody north of $20 million that isn't commanding double coverage in every single matchup my team plays.
Right,
I'm just not
okay. Right, I can buy that. All right, we've paid enough attention to the offense now. There are a bunch of others that I think are pretty interesting signings. But let's go ahead and turn to the defense because we're basically at the end of the show already. Any defensive players, which ones of these, any of them really pop for you as being really good fits, great values, or, you know, impactful signings on the defensive side?
Honestly, no. I've been just severely underwhelmed
Well, let me throw one at you, and you tell me because I actually there was two that I liked, and I'm not saying that they were like, you know, ground shaking, change the world type of thing, but Patrick Queen signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, I thought that was pretty good fit, pretty good value, 3 years at $41 million. Really not that much to pay for Patrick Queen. And, of course, going from the Ravens to the Steelers is a really interesting move there. That's certainly a little bit of hashtag revenge going on. And I kind of like Bobby Wagner. And I know you're going to accuse me of, like, getting rubbed on this Bergie and Gold crap again, but I kind of like Bobby Wagner going over there. It's only $6 million in guarantees for 1 year. It doesn't cost him much, you know? So I – you know, call me what you will. But I like those two moves. Patrick Queen to the Steelers, and I like Bobby Wagner to the Commanders.
I saw Wole posting of being pumped about the Bobby Wagner signing earlier, and I totally get it because I was I'm president of the Bobby Wagner fan club. Now, I started being a president of the fan club when I was 24 and didn't have any gray hairs in my beard. And, you know, my kid was only a year or two old. And then the,
Bobby Wagner
still played
didn't
in the
have
NFL
reading glasses at that time. I understand.
And Richard Sherman wasn't on First Take, and Brandon Browner wasn't in jail. And, you know, like it was a lot of things have happened since then, but I like Bobby Wagner, the player. So, you know, Cliff Averill still could play football. You know, there's a lot of things going on back then. Pretty sure Obama was still in office. All right. It was an interesting time. But, neither one of those move it for me. Patrick Queen, I feel like, to me, again, I look at it and say, like, on a team like the Ravens, like, I look at a player like him and the style he plays in 2024 and say, if he's on an air marked team, you know, like a real contender, fine, right? If he went to the Chiefs, solid. He went to the Dolphins, solid. Russell Wilson, still the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback as we see here right now, and they just got rid of one of their two best receivers who has a ton of problems off the field. So, like, I'm not going to lose sleep over losing Deontay Johnson. But, like, the fact of the matter is they couldn't score points last year, and I don't think they can score points right now. So how excited am I going to get about Queen going there? So the one, you know, I think that's just across the board for me right now because I look at another one that I think is a good get for the Packers is getting McKinney. But like, you know, we're talking about a safety. So like, again, how excited am I going to get for these kind of positions? And we know I'm a positionist, right? Unabashed positionist, when it comes to the NFL, and I don't apologize for it and I never will. I'll go to another one, quickly becoming one of my favorite teams because this one I actually do think is impactful. They lost the pass rusher. They added pieces on the offense like we talked about. Had a really surprising, great, fun year last year.
Okay.
Get Tank Dell back, who's going to be healthy. Danielle Hunter going to the Houston Texans.
I do like that.
That's a solid move. Especially because he's more a veteran presence on what's a pretty young defense and team. So I like that move for them. So if there's one I'm actually excited about, it's because I still think they're contenders. I think, you know, again, Tank Dell being healthy for a full year, second year for C.J. Stroud. You got Joe Mixon in the mix there on that side of the ball. Now in the draft, you can really just supplement on the offensive side and really continue to invest on the defensive side. So now you got Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on the same side of the ball.
That's good.
That's potential for a lot of fun in Houston. So that's what I am non-facetiously excited about.
Yeah, no, I can. We agree on that one. I'm actually really pumped about the Houston Texans all the way around. I think that they are. I think they're a winner in free agency, and I also think they're a winner in terms of building that team from last season and getting this great momentum. So I'm a big fan of the Texans going into this year. If I had to pick an AFC team, that would be the one I'm watching for sure in terms of ascending into the playoffs next year. All right, well. That does it. Let's hit the air horn on the show here. We went a little bit of extra overtime here because we had to get our hot takes on the defense. But I thought we crammed it all in there. I mean, for a non-exciting free agency period, I actually think we had some great discussion there. There's some important information and some impactful moves there. And I think there certainly can be some waves down the line. We'll see how it all sorts out because, of course, we won't know the true impact of this until we get past the draft. And see what they decide, which each of these teams decide to draft and supplement their teams with. So let's go ahead, get your social media here, Ryan, so people can follow you.
Yeah, quickly too, as we sign off here, honorable mention to this came to my mind. Had a down year last year, but 2 years ago had a really nice season and came back on really short money. The Patriots retaining Josh Uche for 1 year and $3 million, I thought was honestly a very, very value driven, prudent deal for them. I was wondering how I was going to work this into the show and it just came to me organically. So you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Whitfield NE. And I promise I will not be posting any content as if my name was Araldis Chapman.
All right. So anyway, guys,
can't not touch on that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go there. Brought to you, and with that, I'll tell you that we're brought to you by Manscaped. Just go to manscaped.com. Use SuperbTime. What a great promo this is. And we're also BetUS. Get a sportsbook bonus. You go to the link on our you totally killed my train of thought here, Ryan. I just want you to know that you derailed my entire outro.
That's him.
Anyway,
that's
find me at
fault.
FB Garbage Time on X, Twitter. Go to Facebook and find us there. Thank you for listening and wasting time with us. And I mean us, me and Ryan, even though Ryan is derailing my ability to outro this entire show. Until next week, enjoy your NFL week.